Social networking sites have been swamped with messages in response to the death of Steve Jobs, technology pioneer, co-founder of Apple, of course. In China alone, more than 50 million messages have been posted on the Chinese equivalents of Twitter, mostly offering condolences. And I was looking at some of the YouTube video clips and audio clips this morning, and as I was looking at them, the tally was increasing by tens of thousands this morning. So certainly a lot of interest in the death of Steve Jobs, who died of complications from pancreatic cancer, a rare form of pancreatic cancer. And here was a man who understood that life has limitations. Here he is speaking shortly after his liver transplant to a commencement at Stanford University.
Having lived through it, I can now say this to you with a bit more certainty than when death was a useful but purely intellectual concept. No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet, death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. And that is as it should be, because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. Right now, the new is you. But someday, not too long from now, you will gradually become the old and be cleared away. Sorry to be so dramatic, but it's quite true. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become.
Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple, who died yesterday, speaking back in 2005 at a Stanford University commencement. Joining us now, John Maeda, world-renowned graphic designer and president of the Rhode Island School of Design. John, did that message from Steve Jobs get through to you early on?
Well, thank you, John. His whole idea of the new is you, you can make a difference, and when you can't get out of the way, definitely so.
You owned an Apple II, right?
I sure did.
And can you take us through the narrative of products that frames Steve Jobs' life as well as some of these other things we've been talking about?
Well, I began my life as just a regular nerd in Seattle that had an Apple II and bought an Apple Macintosh in 84, went to MIT. And I'll never forget, at MIT as a freshman, all the upperclassmen had IBM PCs, the macho computer, and I had the Pansy computer, the one that could draw circles and was pretty and could make images. I was ridiculed, of course. But I knew that that computer was different. It was making a statement. And from there, I think that Apple took us into a space where technology didn't have to be this rational thing. It could be this emotional thing, a thing you could connect to as a person. And all throughout his career, he showed us how, remember the MP3 players? There were so many of them,
sure,
but no one cared about them at all. But along comes the iPod. Now you give a darn about the iPod, the MP3 player. He showed us how you can make things human.
John Maeda, world-renowned graphic designer, president of the Rhode Island School of Design. Spaces where technology is emotional, not merely rational. Adelise Guzman, takeaway listener in at WLRN in South Florida, speaking to us from Davie, Florida. Adelise, good morning.
Good morning.
So a space where technology is emotional, you know that pretty well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. How long have you worked at Apple?
I worked for 4.5 years off and on.
In the store, right?
In the retail stores, yeah.
How did Steve Jobs' idea of retail experience change the world, do you think?
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking about this last night with my parents and my brother, and my brother was all like, oh, it was the technology. I'm like, no, it's more than the technology, you know. He really got people to care about a brand, and he took marketing to a whole different level, and that took place in the retail stores. When customers would walk in, they can walk in with something like, oh, I have a stupid question. You would like, oh, no such thing. You know, what can I do for you? And it's more like, you were there to teach someone how to do something. You were there to teach them how wonderful this technology can be. It's not just useful. It's not just practical. And it was really what they told us in the store. It was there to enrich your lives.
It's Adelise Guzman, a former employee at an Apple store who's taken the lessons she learned at the Apple store out into her life. Hang on for a minute there. John Maeda, do you think the notions of technology that Steve Jobs, revolutionized the tech world with have lessons far outside of that?
Definitely, Joan. If you think about how many of us who grew up with technology, I wouldn't call ourselves digital natives, but the early digital immigrants, we saw computers evolve so quickly, you being one of them, of course, yourself. And it kept on going faster, bigger, cheaper, but never smarter and better. And Jobs had a different way. He had a way that taught all of us who were stuck in technology, the STEM subjects, STEM, so-called science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. He taught us how to add art to STEM, to turn STEM into STEAM. He made us aware that, you know, all that rational stuff is great, but there's something else called being human that matters even more.
And John Maeda, I guess the legacy of Steve Jobs is not so much that he can't be replaced, or that we're waiting for someone else to fill his shoes. Adeliz Guzman, in a sense, the legacy of Steve Jobs is that he's created millions of Steve Jobs-like consumers of technology, right?
Not just consumers. I think it goes from the technology to how you feel about it. You know, you feel the same passion that he had for the technology, but not what the technology is or how fast it is, but what it can do for you, you know, and what you can do with it. It's not just a computer to go online and go on Facebook or on Twitter. It's a computer where you can, you know, create a family calendar, or where you can create movies, or where you can communicate with family members far across in some other part of the world.
And Adeliz Guzman, you know, to go back to something you kind of alluded to earlier, you know, my brother was a computer nerd, programming, writing his own software, using, you know, I would turn his computer on and there was just a DOS prompt. And that made me feel like an idiot. But the one thing that Apple did for me was make me feel like I was kind of smart. It made me, those products made me feel like I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, it's funny because I was just remembering when I was in fifth grade and my first time touching a Mac, and I thought this was the most complicated thing and I hated it. I went back to my Windows and I was at school, and then I went back when I worked at Apple and I started using Macs again in college, and it was actually fairly simple. And I think it was so simple that I thought it was complicated because I was used to the DOS and the Windows.
It's so interesting. Adeliz Guzman, takeaway listener at WLRN in South Florida. John Maeda, what are the expectations we now all have because of Steve Jobs and the way he designed products and technology?
I think the expectations he gave all of us, you know, given the fact you just presented about how in China people are pouring out their hearts over Steve Jobs, Steve Jobs taught us all how to lead with technology, how to lead with design as the cultural ambassador of the United States. How for all of us to aspire to something that isn't just about a few transistors, resistors, a display, a touchscreen, that technology is transformative, and only through design can we really communicate it, get to people's hearts, and then their real minds.
On Skype, what computer are you using, John?
A Macintosh.
John Maeda, world-renowned graphic designer, visual artist, and computer scientist at the MIT Media Lab. He's now president of the Rhode Island School of Design. We also talked with Adeliz Guzman, a former Apple employee and takeaway listener at WLRN in South Florida. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.